Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
As we roll through February, I want to give you the top five stories in the Big 12 Conference to watch as we get set for the final full month of the regular season in college basketball. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports, where we cover the Big 12 Conference, and glad you're here as always joining us. Please like the video, subscribe to the channel, helps us a lot as we keep growing this show. So the biggest thing to watch in the final month of the regular season here in the Big 12 is trying to figure out who separates themselves in this league. Right now you have, obviously, Arizona sitting there at the top, followed by Houston, Kansas, Iowa State, those four. And then after that, you've got UCF and Texas Tech, followed by BYU. But those top four are going to play each other a lot in the next couple of weeks. It's really going to get good when you look at the Big 12 schedule in the next couple of weeks or so. So you look at Saturday, all right? And on Saturday, you've got, when you look at it, Houston taking on BYU. That's a very intriguing game for both of those teams. For Houston staying in the Big 12 title hunt, and for BYU, it feels like in many ways an elimination game. You get to Big Monday, Arizona in Lawrence, Kansas, taking on KU. KU has won six straight. They're in the thick of the Big 12 race. If they win that game, that's a monster momentum shift in the Big 12 regular season title hunt. Massive game on Monday. The midweek games, honestly, don't have a lot of juice because Baylor has not been any good this season. Like, every midweek Baylor game just doesn't have the enthusiasm that you thought it might have had before the season. So the midweek games are not all that compelling. You go to next Saturday. You get Kansas at Iowa State. Enormous game. You get Texas Tech at Arizona. Another really big game next Saturday. That's followed up by a big Monday game on the 16th. Houston at Iowa State. Another game that could be an elimination type game for the Big 12 regular season title. And as these teams are battling for 1-2-3 seeds in the NCAA tournament, these games are going to go a long way in determining how that all works out and how that shapes out over the next month or so. You go to the Saturday, February 21st schedule, and what do you have? You have games like Arizona at Houston. You have Iowa State at BYU. These are great games. February is going to be fantastic in this league. I can't wait to see how it plays out. And these next couple of weeks, we'll have a clear idea as to who's actually in the title hunt and who's not when it comes to the regular season in the Big 12, and then who's jockeying for position when you look at the one seeds, the two seeds, the three seeds, or who may fall to a four or a five seed of those top tier teams in the Big 12. All that is TBD. But we are going to have a lot of answers in February, and the next couple of weeks will be incredibly telling on this front. So that's the number one thing to watch in the Big 12 Conference in the weeks to come for this February. Now, number two, what else am I watching? Well, more than seven. That's my question. More than seven. What do I mean by that? Joe Lenardi's latest bracketology has the Big 12 with seven teams in the NCAA tournament. Part of the problem is that the teams at the bottom half have not had really any success against the top half of the league. There appears to be a major drop-off after, you know, UCF, BYU in this league. Can the Big 12 get eight or nine teams in? You're going to have to get a team like West Virginia or Oklahoma State to pull off some upsets here along the way. That's what's going to have to happen. Now, Oklahoma State has opportunities here. They've got three games in their next five against ranked opponents: BYU, Arizona, and Kansas. Can Oklahoma State squeeze out a win in at least one of those? Not going to predict it's likely, but that's what Oklahoma State needs to do to put itself in contention to actually punch a ticket to the big dance. I don't think winning 20 games is just good enough anymore, especially with the non-conference schedule that a team like Oklahoma State had. They just had a terrible non-conference. I mean, their toughest game was OU and they lost it. So looking at their non-conference and being like, well, you know, they went whatever it was, 13-1. I'm not impressed because of how bad the non-conference was for the Cowboys. They've got to get some good wins here in league play, and they have opportunities to do that. I've never thought a team should just get to a win total and punch a ticket. I've never liked that idea of like, well, they got the 20 wins. Who did you play? That should matter. Now for West Virginia, similar. You know, their non-conference, they lost to most of the halfway decent teams they played: Clemson, Xavier, Wake Forest, and Ohio State. So now they're in league play. They had a rough loss to Baylor the other night, and they do not have as many ranked opponents left as Oklahoma State does. The Cowboys have four. The Mountaineers only have two: Texas Tech at home and BYU at home. Both at home, once again. They have got to capitalize. They have to. You got to win at least one of those games, if not both of those games, and then clean up in between. You can't have some of these bad losses to Baylor the other night. You can't have, you know, hanging on for dear life against Kansas State. You just can't do it, especially when the non-conference went the way it did for West Virginia. So the Big 12 is really not that well positioned right now to get more than seven teams in, because the bottom of this league, first off, is bad. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. The top is fantastic. The bottom's bad in the Big 12. So you got to show something with these bottom tier teams. I mean, I thought that TCU might be able to be one of these teams that could make some noise, and I liked them early in the season, but man, they have been a disappointment, haven't they? I mean, you lose to Utah, you lose to Colorado by 20, whatever it was, 25 on Sunday. This is a team that should have a couple more wins under its belt than it does, and it just feels like things are slipping away from Jamie Dixon in many respects in Fort Worth. So if you want to see more than seven teams in the Big 12 make the NCAA tournament, you're really down to a couple of options: Oklahoma State or West Virginia. Cincinnati has some talent to put together a run, but I'm not going to predict it. And, you know, Baylor may be the best 2-7 league team in the country, but it just feels like it's too little too late for the Baylor Bears. So it's going to be tough, but it's definitely something to watch here going forward. The third thing I'm watching here in the month of February in the Big 12 is, I got to put them in there, the undefeated Cats. Yes, the Arizona Wildcats, undefeated. Do I believe they will finish undefeated? I do not. Do I think with each passing game, the story of them being undefeated is a fantastic one to follow and brings a lot of drama? Absolutely. So this weekend, they're taking on Oklahoma State. Not going to hold my breath there, but boy, that would be fun for the Cowboys, wouldn't it? Just talking about big wins they need. Big Monday at Kansas coming up on February 9th, and then that's followed up by Texas Tech, BYU, and at Houston. Four straight games. Who's got a tougher stretch than that in college basketball? And then they go to Baylor, and then it's KU and Iowa State. They have six out of seven games against top 16 teams in the country. They're not going to get through it unblemished. I like Arizona. I really do. They're my pick to obviously win the Big 12. They have been for the last, 2.5 weeks or so. However, I can't sit here in good faith and tell you that I believe they're going to finish this season undefeated. But if they keep winning, if they stay undefeated, it will be an amazing storyline in college basketball, because the drama will build every single game and every single week. that's what's going to happen. And that's going to be great for the program. It's going to be great for the Big 12. It's going to bring even more attention to what is clearly the best conference in college basketball, hands down. And if I had to sit here and pick right now, like, winning in Lawrence, winning in Allen Fieldhouse in a big Monday game is really tough to do. Do they have the talent to beat Kansas? Absolutely. Will they be favored in Lawrence? I would say they would be favored in Lawrence. Then they got Tech and BYU at home, followed by a road trip to Houston. If I'm looking at this four-game stretch and saying which loss is most likely for Arizona, I will pick one of the two road games, at Kansas or at Houston. Four of these six-ranked games are at home. So that's the good thing for Arizona. Four of the six ranked games, Tech, BYU, a return visit from Kansas, and Iowa State are at home. So they've got that going for them. So that's why I'm looking at those two road games and saying if they're going to drop one, that's where I see it potentially happening for this team. So definitely keep an eye on that. The next storyline that I am watching in the Big 12 is whose seat keeps getting hotter. And I look at that and I say, okay, what are the options here? I mean, Jerome Tang's buyout is so astronomical. I don't think he's getting fired. And frankly, some of the comments that Gene Taylor made to 12 News this week in Kansas makes me think that they're just going to ride this thing through. The buyout's $18 million, drops to $15 million after April. It's just too much money. It's just way too much money for Kansas State right now to pay out for basketball. They simply can't do it, okay? So Jerome Tang, you take him off that hot seat list. I mean, he's on a hot seat. There's no doubt about it. Do I realistically think he's going to get fired? I don't believe, based on Gene Taylor's comments, they're going to go out there and pull the trigger on this thing right now. Gene Taylor was like, listen, we're standing behind them. They've had some injuries. It's tough out there, and, you know, they know what they're doing. Rah, rah, hoops. It did not sound like a guy who was going to go anywhere. So, something to watch, but I'm not going to hold my breath on that one. Where do you go from there? All right, when you look at hot seats potentially getting hotter in February. You would look at someone like Tad Boyle at Colorado, but I don't think he's going anywhere either. You would look at a Wes Miller at Cincinnati. You wouldn't say that he's someone, frankly, that's done a very good job, but Tad Boyle is safer than Wes Miller in my mind. There's no doubt about it, okay? Tad Boyle's been there for 15 years. He's not going anywhere. That's not going to change anything. There's nothing to suggest that he is going to be in a position where he has to end up getting fired. That seems very unlikely. Then you go to Jamie Dixon at TCU. I think that seat is warming up in a surprising way. I think that seat is warming up in a way that a lot of people do not expect. Okay? And I know it's his alma mater. I know that he is somebody who a lot of people believe can right the ship. I'm not convinced that's the case. I'm not. I'm sitting here looking at it and saying to myself, you know, the way this year has gone with some of the, I think, solid talent that they have, not elite, but solid talent, the games that they have lost, the blowout to Colorado, I don't want to use too much recency bias here, but the blowout loss to Colorado on Sunday, combined with losses to Utah, make me just scratch my head and say, you know, what's going on here? They shouldn't be losing these games. And it's been a couple of years since Jamie Dixon's been in the NCAA tournament, and I know that this program does not have great basketball. They may just say, hey, listen, we got our guy Jamie. He's one of us. We're going to ride this thing out and see what he can do for us here. A new coach is not going to change things. That's entirely possible, and it's not the worst conclusion to come to. However, without being aware of the inner workings there at TCU, just purely based on the job that's been done, the conversation can be had. Can he win a couple of big games down the stretch, take himself off of that seat? Bobby Hurley's done at Arizona State. We know that much. Okay? His contract is up at the end of the season. He's not coming back. Then you get to someone like Alex Jensen. Former star player at Utah, has not gotten off to a very good start. Okay? He hasn't. Never been a college coach when he got the gig. Now, he's going to have plenty of time. I think they want him to obviously figure this thing out. That's very obvious. But he's not somebody who came in with a ton of experience when it came to being a head coach. He had time as an assistant, of course, in the NBA, Utah Jazz, Dallas Mavericks, all that is great. But there's no doubt it's been a rough start for Alex Jensen in year one at Utah. He will get plenty of time. He's not on a hot seat. But if he can get a big win here, I don't know, somewhere down the stretch, that would certainly be a good thing for him and a very good thing for this program as well moving forward. So let's see if they can close strong and just pull off some kind of notable upset to give this team some juice going into the offseason, because that's really what they need right now. The last thing that I'm watching here in the Big 12 in the month of February is star power. The Big 12 has the greatest star power in all of college basketball. ESPN's top 50 men's basketball players at the midseason mark dropped earlier this week, and half of the Big 12 filled in their top 10. Dibansa, Jefferson, Toppin, Peterson, and Flemings. Multiple freshmen as well. Three freshmen on that list, obviously. And that tells you everything you need to know about this league and where it's at. And that's half the top 10. That's six in the top 12. Christian Anderson came in at 12th on that list. So you look at this and you say to yourself, you know what? When it comes to star power and the freshman class is great, the Big 12 has it in a way that no other league does. How, as we get some of these huge games in the month of February that I was talking about earlier in the show, how do we market? How does the Big 12 market? How do the TV networks market? You know, last week you had Dibansa playing, of course, Darren Peterson. BYU was playing at Kansas. And I wanted the freshman phenom one-on-one thing to be like a part of the conversation, but I admit I didn't want it to dominate the conversation. And it didn't. It was part of it, but it really didn't dominate. Now, of course, it didn't help as the game went on that Peterson barely played in the second half. So that's one of those things that you look at and you say to yourself, okay, we lost some of that narrative as you were watching the broadcast last week. But you get some of these games. I mean, Kingston Flemings just isn't getting the attention because he's not AJ and he's not at KU like Darren Peterson, but he's been unbelievable. And of course, they have a veteran team around him, so it's a little bit different. But I'm looking at this Houston team and I'm saying, okay, they've fallen back a little bit in terms of not getting as much attention right now, which I think Kelvin Sampson is totally fine with, to be honest. I think that Kelvin Sampson likes it better that way, because everyone's talking about Arizona undefeated and everyone's talking about, you know, KU coming on strong, and Houston's sitting there saying, hey, we're 19-2. We've got one loss in league play at Texas Tech, whatever that was, last week. We're feeling pretty good about our situation. I guarantee you that's what's on Kelvin Sampson's mind right now as he thinks about the season and how this thing's going to play out. And Houston has some huge games here as well in the month of February. They go to BYU. They go to Iowa State. They host Arizona. They go to Kansas. They've got a three-game stretch in mid-February. February 16th, they've got a big Monday game at Iowa State. They follow that up on Saturday with a game against Arizona. It's a 2 o'clock game on ABC. That's fascinating. That is big time right there, too. That's sometimes reserved for, like, the NBA. They're putting that game on ABC on Saturday, February 21st. And then they travel for another big Monday game at Kansas on February 23rd. So this thing for the Big 12 has been largely, I don't want to say it's backloaded because we've had a lot of great games. But the Big 12 is all in on Big Monday, as it has been for a long time. But these matchups are just amazing on Big Monday, with really key stretches for Arizona and for Houston in particular that will go a long way to deciding who ends up crowning themselves as Big 12 champion in the regular season. And you're going to have a ton of star power to go along with it as well. It was interesting, in the midseason stars list, Arizona did not have a player in the top 20. but they had Bradley at 21, Burry's at 31, Koa Pete at 33. So they had three in the top 33, all jammed in between 21 and 33, which I thought was interesting. They led the way. Well, actually, Iowa State had three as well in the top 50 with Joshua Jefferson, Lipsy, and Milan. So they were all in the top 27, actually. And then KU had one. Texas Tech had two with Toppin and Anderson, both in the top 12. BYU had two. AJ at number two. Richie Saunders at 34. Two for Houston and Flemings and Sharp. And then K-State had Haggerty at 42. And Baylor had Cameron Carr at 44. So that's a ton of guys in the top 50 coming out of this league in the ESPN rankings for top 50 players at the midseason mark. And these guys will get a ton of attention in big games in the next month. I can't wait. And then we get to March, and it's going to get a real fun in March, man. Big 12 tournament's going to be right here in Kansas City. We'll be covering it, and we hope you'll be joining us then. I'm Pete Mundo. Please make sure you like the video. You are subscribed to the channel. Can't thank you enough. We are in the second half of the Big 12 Basketball League schedule. It is going to fly from here on out. So please join us. If you're on the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and review. So appreciate you joining us. And we'll talk to you soon here on HeartlandCollegeSports.com.